Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 50, the big 50 of Real Stories. The one thing that I keep thinking about when I was recording this episode was the episode of iCarly where they had their 50th web show spectacular, and that's all I could keep thinking about. But I'm really excited that we made it to this point, and I'm very grateful for everybody who has ever listened and shared the podcast. I really enjoyed doing it. I'm sorry that I've been taking a little break. I went on vacation, but I'm back, and I'm really excited to get into this episode. I got three great Let's Not Meet stories for you guys, so let's get started. This happened when I was young, approximately 8 to 10 years old, but I remember it perfectly. I have confirmed the details with my mother, and the memory of it sends chills down both of our spines to this day. It was broad daylight on a Saturday, and I was in the town center with my mother. The streets were busy and people bustled past. We paused at a shop front that sold ornaments, the old, ugly-fashioned kind that old grannies like. We'd often stop to look at them and laugh at how expensive they were, wondering how that place even stayed open. I was a real chatterbox as a kid and was talking animatedly to my mother about something or another, facing her as I did so. Like it was yesterday, I remember her smiling face and how it suddenly dropped. Her jaw hung open and her eyes were as big as dinner plates. She just stared at me silently for a few seconds and then grabbed my arm hard and pulled me away. Her fingers were digging into my arm and she dragged me into the crowd, walking as fast as she could without running. Being that kid, I squealed and loudly kept saying, "What are you doing? Ouch! Mom, you're hurting me. That hurts. Where are we going?" while trying to stop. She gritted her teeth and silently dragged me for about three streets before stopping somewhere less busy for a second. It was only then that she let go of my arm, rubbing it and looking extremely upset. Looking me dead in the eye, she explained that as I was talking outside the shop, she had noticed an old man who'd stood behind me. He was dirty and disheveled, like the horror movie stereotype of a creepy old man. I had long, pretty hair as a little girl, and people stopped all the time to remark on it, especially when I wore it loose. This old man had very gently lifted a handful of my hair in his hand and was smelling it, tickling his nose with it as he did so. I was clearly so absorbed in the story I was telling, I didn't even realize I was being touched. My mother made eye contact with the man as he opened his eyes while inhaling the smell of my hair. He gave her an absolutely nauseating, toothy grin, quickly dropping my hair and waving at her, waggling his finger all cutesy, like, "Whoopsie, you caught me," was the vibe, clearly knowing exactly what he had did. He then disappeared into the throng of people moving past. My poor mother immediately felt sick and just went into autopilot, dragging me away as fast as she could in the opposite direction. I didn't even know how to react when she told me what had happened, except to be horrified and glad that we had gotten away safely. I still walk past that shop, and the memory of my mother's haunted expression makes me feel ill. Creepy old man, let's not meet ever again. Holy moly, this hair-grabbing guy just caught me by surprise because I was not expecting for the story to take that turn when I was first reading it. And that's what motivated me to want to share it with you guys, because what a nasty, creepy thing to have happen to you. So in this story, our young female author is approximately 8 to 10 years old, which makes this all the more creepy. They remember it perfectly, walking into the town center with their mom, looking at this old shop that sold these ornaments. I know exactly what they mean when they say that, you know, the products are overpriced and, you know, a lot of people weren't shopping there, so they always wondered how it stayed open. There's always those shops at the mall or just in town where it's like, who even goes here and how are you possibly open? But as they're in front of this store, our author is just talking to their mom, as, you know, a young kid would. And in the middle of this conversation, her mom notices something, and her smiling face suddenly dropped, and her jaw hung open with her eyes as big as dinner plates. So she clearly saw something alarming and was not very happy with it. She just stared at her daughter for a second and then grabbed her arm hard and pulled her away. Now, when she's doing this, her fingers are just kind of digging into her daughter's arm. So our author is like, "Ow, Mom, what are you doing? Like, this hurts. Where are we going?" And she just gritted her teeth and silently dragged her a couple streets away before stopping at a less busy area. It was only then that she let go of her arm and felt bad because, you know, she was grabbing it very harsh because she needed to get her out of that situation. She looked at her dead in the eye and explained that as she was talking, she had noticed an old man behind her, the type of dirty and disheveled looking guy from a horror movie stereotype, which is funny because I can instantly picture that in my head. Our author explains that they had long, pretty hair as a child, and people always used to remark on it. But this old man had very gently lifted a handful of her hair and was smelling it. He lifted a handful of her hair and was smelling it. Oh my God, that's so unsettling. Who does that? Who does that to a child? Like, that's what makes it worse. Like, it's already a terrible thing to do. Don't ever do that to anybody, as if I needed to say that. But a child, like, that's some really, really creepy, you need to get locked up stuff. Because what are you doing? The old man had, you know, been huffing a handful of her hair, and she didn't even realize. But then her mom makes eye contact with this man as if like, "Yo, what the hell are you doing?" And he gives her this creepy, toothy grin as if the vibe is like, "Whoopsie, you caught me." But he knew exactly what he was doing. And he then disappeared into the crowd of people, which is unfortunate because he really needs to get locked up. But oh my goodness, what a creepy experience. That's a nightmare as a child and as a mother. Like, you're not even prepared for that because it's so weird and unexpected. Luckily, he wasn't like really trying to hurt her or do anything like that. But this is the type of experience that just makes you just nauseating of the outside world and probably makes her and her mom really distrusting of just men in general and people on the street. And this is why people think that way. When people are scared, when women are scared of men on the street, it's because of experiences like this. When people are just out here doing unhinged behavior for no real reason. I'm assuming that, you know, maybe there's some mental health issues going on because clearly this behavior is not normal. So what a crazy story to start off with our 50th episode. Yikes. We'll be right back with more creepy stories after this word from today's sponsor, BetterHelp. Hey guys, Mental Health Awareness Month may be over, but that doesn't make the problem less important. So if you're feeling stressed, depressed, anxious, or overwhelmed, you're not alone. And today's sponsor, BetterHelp, is here to help you. BetterHelp offers licensed therapists who are trained to listen and help you. You can talk to your therapist in an online environment at your convenience. There is a broad range of expertise in BetterHelp's network of 20,000 therapists that give you access to help that may not be available in your area. You just fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific needs, and then you can get matched with your own therapist in as little as 48 hours. You can then schedule video and phone sessions, plus you can exchange unlimited messages with your therapist. You can also request a new therapist at any time for no additional charge. So join the 3 million plus people who have taken charge of their mental health with an experienced BetterHelp therapist. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/realstories. That's betterhelp.com/realstories. All one word. There's no time like the present to take care of your mental health. So do it today with BetterHelp. This happened years ago when I was barely 14. My middle school and my best friend's middle school at the time organized a trip to Great Britain, London to be exact. It's supposed to be a few days looking at London attractions, museums, and shops. It was fun, until it wasn't. For the day we were supposed to go home, we were brought to the streets with some interesting shops. From there, we could see Golden Freddy, and we received free time to go shopping. Then, our teachers and guide had a brilliant idea. They told us that after our time for shopping ends, we have to meet at a different street from where we were brought. In retrospect, it was only like 100 meters away, but they still shouldn't have did that. Most of us had never been to London, and we barely speak English. We didn't have a map of the city, and roaming services don't work correctly. 90% of the students got lost. I got lost with my best friend because we both went in the complete opposite direction that we were supposed to. We were both confused about the directions that we were given. We were walking along the pavement. My friend was running ahead or staying behind to nervously look around. We didn't look like we were together because we were not interacting with each other. I guess that's why this happened. My friend ran ahead and stopped to look around. Meanwhile, I saw a black car approach me and match my speed. I started to feel like this was a scene from a movie. It was broad daylight. There were a lot of people around, and yet no one reacted. I was confused and didn't know why this was happening. Then, from a car stepped a man, and he said, "You are nice. Come with me." And then tried to grab me. The car was still running, so I suppose someone was still in it. I was stunned. I didn't believe this was real. At that moment, my friend ran up to me from behind, grabbed me, and dragged me away. We ran and weren't sure if the car was following us. After some time, we stopped and my friend nervously cried, shaking me and screaming, "Why didn't you move when that man tried to catch you?" I explained that I was having a deer in the headlights moment. We cooled down and I was able to eventually ask somebody for help, and we were found by our teachers. We didn't tell anybody what happened because we were sure that no one would believe us. After that, when we got back, I told my parents and I never went on a trip organized by my school again. My mom considered all of that really unprofessional and irresponsible. Whoa, I definitely agree with their mom that this seemed very unprofessional and irresponsible. So in this story, our author, who's barely 14 at the time, and her friend are visiting London. This is a school trip that both of their middle schools took, which kind of reminds me of the 8th grade DC trip that a lot of the schools around the United States and in Ohio take. But so they're in London, and their teacher takes them over to a shopping area and tells them that after their designated time to go shopping, they have to meet up at a different street. Now, this already doesn't seem like a great idea because these kids are about freshmen in high school, and they don't speak English very well. So leaving them to kind of fend for themselves and go shop when they barely speak the language and don't know where they are doesn't seem like a very good idea at all. And guess what? It wasn't. So while our author and their friend are walking along the street, they're not really walking super close to each other. Their friend is way ahead of them. So while they look like they're alone, a black car pulls up on the side of them, and it's kind of matching their speed. Now, this is a ginormous red flag, obviously. But one thing that they could do in the future is to not walk at the same side of traffic. Like, if you're walking east, walk where traffic is coming from the west. Basically, you don't want to walk on the same side that traffic is flowing. But they're 14, so of course they're not going to know that. But this car pulls up, a guy gets out and says, "You are nice, come with me," and tried to grab her. So she almost got, you know, killed, trafficked, whatever horrible thing you could think of. But luckily, her friend had her back, saw all this was going on, runs back to her, grabs her, and they run away. So thank goodness that they were walking with their friends. And this is why it's also important when you're walking in an unfamiliar area, if you can, to follow the buddy system. No man left behind, stay with your friends, and then you make sure that both of you are okay. Because if nothing else, at least you have each other's back. And their friend, despite being 14, really understood this. So shout out to their friend, because they're a real hero of the episode. Once they get back from running away from this car, they are able to find their class and meet up with their teachers, but they don't explain what happened to anybody because they didn't think anybody would believe them, which is so scary to think about, because it's absolutely important, if ever this happens to anybody, no matter what age it is, to tell somebody, because somebody needs to file a report so that that person doesn't do this to other people. But again, they're kids, so it's hard. Definitely, it was a bad idea to leave these kids to their own devices when they don't know the area. And they mentioned that they didn't have a map of the city and that roaming services weren't working correctly. And it's not like it was just these two kids who wandered off. They said 90% of the students got lost. That's very bad.
They're really lucky that something bad didn't happen.
We'll be back with our third story after a word from our new sponsor, CBDX.com. CBDX is an American company that offers the highest quality Delta-8 THC, Delta-9 THC, and HHC products. They offer lightning-fast shipping and the best prices with outstanding customer service. All of their products are made in-house. They're not just slapping their label onto some other company's products. And they have a wide variety of products for any level of experience that you may have in this cannabinoid field. Because what these are legal cannabinoids. So they have gummies, vape cartridges, straight up flower, and other oils. So really, you can look and find for whatever experience that you want to have. They have products designed for a chill night, for being creative, for just enjoying and relaxing during your day. Whatever you need, whatever level you are, whether you're a beginner or someone who's more of a connoisseur like myself in this field, they have products for everybody. I highly recommend their gummies because they are delicious and they are effective. So go to CBDX.com and look over their products and use promo code TINO, T-I-N-O, for 10% off your order. You must be 21 years of age or older to buy products on here. CBDX.com, promo code TINO for 10% off. So it has been a few years since this happened, and I still don't know what to make of it. I was a 22-year-old girl at the time, and I went out with some friends. I got really drunk and ended up stranded in a city that I'm not familiar with. I lost my friends, my phone battery had died, and so I was all alone. This was all happening around 4 in the morning. I was frantic, crying, obviously drunk. I was talking to two guys who were trying to help me. Then another guy interrupts them and tells me he talked to my friends and that they had left. He offers me a ride home, saying he is a taxi driver, and eases the two guys into helping me. The drunk and desperate to go home me totally believes him. When I get inside his car, I don't see the usual taxi gear. It rings alarm bells, but we have a lot of unofficial taxi drivers here, so I let it go. We drive and are talking normally. I notice that we are not driving towards a highway like I thought we were supposed to do. I ask about it, and he says something along the lines of an extra stop. We start to drive into wooded areas, and my fear was rising by the second. He eventually parked in a secluded area covered by trees and bushes. I told him that I felt very uncomfortable and that I would like to leave. He says not to worry. This part always gets my heart beating when I think back about it. It was quiet in the car. I slowly and quietly tried to open my door, heart pounding like crazy. It was locked. He heard me and said, "You're not getting out." I tell him again that I want to leave. He says that I don't have to worry and that he is gay. I try to spin the situation and connect with him on that and talk about other random stuff, acting like I'm his friend. He weirdly strokes my whole upper leg one time. I tell him I'm taking driver's lessons, and we talk about me driving his car for a bit. He starts the car, drives to a public area, and unlocks the car so we can switch. I immediately ran for my life into a bus lane,
I waved my hands frantically to an upcoming bus, and they picked me up and called the police. I still don't know what happened. Did he have bad intention? Did he just chicken out? He definitely lied to me about seeing my friends and talking to them, but he was also willing to let me drive his car and just let me go? I filed a police report, but nothing came of it. This is my first time writing something like this, so sorry if it wasn't clear. I would definitely agree with the title of that story that they may have escaped something horrible. Always, you know, red flags when people say that they talk to your friends, because how do you really know that? And they said that it was a taxi, but there was no taxi stuff. I don't know, guys. I just feel like there are a lot of red flags in this story. But, you know, our author is under the influence, and these type of predators target people who are not in the right frame of mind because they are easy licks. So a real bullet dodged, it seems. But in this story, our author is 22 years old and they're out with their friends and they get really drunk and they're stranded in a city that they're not familiar with. They lose their friends and their phone died. So they're all alone. Real nightmare scenario, low key. But this is all happening at 4 in the morning as well, and as the old saying goes, nothing good happens past like 2 in the morning. So we're in sketchy time right now. They are frantic, crying, obviously drunk, and they're talking to two guys who seem like they're genuinely trying to help her. But then a third guy comes up and says that he just talked to her friends, and that he's a taxi driver, and that he offers to give her a ride home. So she's not in, you know, the most comprehensive state, so she agrees to do it. But when she gets inside the car, he doesn't have taxi gear, which we are in the day and age of Ubers and Lyfts and whatnot, but even most of those cars have some sort of sticker or light that identifies themselves, as well as having the in-app saying of what their license is and the make and model of their car. So it's a tough scenario to gauge. But if I had to give advice to people in this scenario, it's try and find a way to charge your phone, because then you can talk to your friends and order like a real Uber or Lyft. But hindsight's always 20/20. So they're driving and talking normally, and our author notices that they weren't driving towards the highway like they were supposed to. They question the driver about this, and he says not to worry. It's something along the lines of an extra stop. He then takes her into a secluded wooded area, and her fear is rising by the second. Alarm bells should be going off in everybody's head who's listening to this right now. Not only is he not even driving anymore, but he is specifically taking her to an area where there aren't people in the woods. The woods are already sketchy because they're filled with a bunch of cryptids, but let alone when people just drive out to them late at night, what could he possibly be planning that is a good thing? Nothing. And she tells him that she feels very uncomfortable and would like to leave, but he just says not to worry. Then it gets all quiet in the car, and they realize that maybe they can get out by unlocking their door and just running. But the driver hears her quietly try to unlock the door and said, "You're not getting out." It is at this point that we have confirmed what all of the red flags have been pointing to. This guy is bad news. We don't know what he's planning, but it's not good. She then tells him that she wants to leave again. And he says not to worry and that he's gay. So, you know, that's trying to put her at ease. He's not going to do anything to her. However, there have been a lot of gay serial killers who have targeted women and men. So that is not a everything is okay flag. No, it's still a bad situation regardless of the sexuality of the driver. He also stroked her leg at one point, which is very, very uncomfortable and terrifying. She then tries to like spin the situation and connect with him and talk about random stuff, acting like she's his friend. This is actually a really smart idea, and I'm glad she thought of this while being super drunk, because a lot of the times people like to dissociate from their victims, because if they don't make them human, then they feel less bad about whatever they're planning on doing. But she's really trying to connect with him and make him feel like She is his friend. She talks to him about taking driving lessons, and they talk about her driving his car for a little bit. And at some point, he starts the car, drives into a public area, and unlocks it so they can switch and she can drive his car. She takes this opportunity, thank goodness, and runs for her life and is able to wave down a bus, and they call the police. She's really unsure of his intention to this day, but if I had to guess, nothing good was coming of that. From every true crime podcast and documentary I've ever seen, from my criminology background, that was not going to end well. So thank goodness she got out of there. She ended up filing a police report, but nothing came of it. Definitely a big bullet dodged. Alrighty guys, that's going to do it for the 50th spectacular of Real Stories. Thank you guys again so much for listening, and this week you have heard Old Creeper Who Hid in Plain Sight by KV It As a Button. Then Black Car in London by Laura Lay. And finally, I Might Have Escaped Something Horrible by do_personality6503. All stories were read with the permission of their respective authors, and if you have a story that you'd like to hear on the show, email it to me at thearspodcast@gmail.com. That's thearspodcast@gmail.com, and you can remain anonymous. Make sure you go to betterhelp.com/realstories for 10% off your first month of therapy with BetterHelp. And make sure you check out cbdx.com and use promo code TINO for 10% off your first order. Finally, make sure you share with a friend and continue to support the show. And I will see you guys again next week with a brand new episode. Until then, have a great rest of your week and stay safe.